Welcome, everybody, to KickServeRadio.com's extended coverage of Final Four weekend. Who better to get caught up with to talk a little basketball than my good buddy Craig Elo, former Houston Rocket, former Cleveland Cavalier, Seattle Supersonic, and Atlanta Hawk. Spent the most part of his career in Cleveland. And Craig, let's start there. You just went out to Cleveland to see the premiere of a 30 for 30 that you were featured in called Believe Land. Talk about your participation with that and how you feel like the project came out.
It was a great premiere. There was a ton of support. And the film is about Cleveland sports teams, but it's all about the drive, the shot, the fumble, the move, the decision. I mean, on and on of just bad things that have happened to Cleveland. But it was really told well, and it painted a great picture of that. The Cleveland people, even though they haven't gotten any championships in like 50 years, are still faithful and believe that at some point their teams will win.
Craig, I know that there was a lot of optimism surrounding LeBron's return to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They did make a good final appearance and, albeit injury depleted, gave Golden State a pretty good run for their money in the championship last year. This season has been filled with drama, obviously somewhat of a surprising move when Coach Blatt was dismissed with Cleveland in first place in the East with, I think it was a 30-11 record at the time. It seems like the drama has continued. What are your thoughts on what's going on with the Cavs right now?
I totally agree with everything you just said, and the fact that the dismissal of Coach Blatt was right after the Warriors, I think, had like embarrassed them by 30. So I think they were kind of pointing a finger at someone, and he happened to be the scapegoat on that one. What's going on with the team now is sad because they have all the pieces and the parts to make a championship run again. But when everybody's kind of going their own way, it's going to be pulling them apart and no cohesiveness. And that's what you got to have when you get to that final seven games in the finals is chemistry and that cohesiveness. And they're not going to have that. And it's not a switch that you can just flip on, Andy. I don't care what level. You know tennis. You can't just flip a switch on and say, I'm going to play my best game. I mean, you got to build into the playoffs in the NBA and start playing well, just like Syracuse maybe has done. You know, they're playing very well at the right time.
Well, I definitely want to get into that Final Four here shortly, but one more thing. You would have, conventional wisdom would have one draw the conclusion that the dismissal of Coach Blatt was for the sake of making room for Coach Tyronn Lue to come in. And now since then, we've seen, you know, sort of LeBron step in front of him and appear to coach the team during one of his nights off. And then now you see Iman Shumpert sort of toss a towel onto Tyronn Lue's shoulder like he's a towel rack or something. And all of a sudden, this guy doesn't seem like he's getting a ton of respect either. Is it just a product of the fact that he's not much older than the players that he's coaching and not that far removed from sort of being that number one assistant that was sort of the buddy to the players and not the authority figure?
Yes, there's no question. I like Iman, and I think he's probably all about the team and no selfishness in him. And I mean, even JR has grown up a lot in saying like, hey, we can't be playing like this. And I don't think LeBron, I think he's just so hungry to get a win for a championship and for Cleveland that he feels like he has to step out of his, like, you know, Superman's cape on the court and do other things too. And that's going to hurt in the long run. It's not going to help. And he's going to have to be a big man and step back away from that because there has to be a coach. But with Lou, you hit the nail on the head. He's still a young pup. And he was probably the liaison with the players to Coach Blatt when he was there. And now that he's the head man, you've got to have some authority and you got to be able to step on, you know, and squash out some of the bad things that happened for the team. And I don't think he feels like he could do anything like that right now with LeBron acting the way he does. I just think it's somebody's job to tell LeBron, hey, step back, play, and, you know, let us do this, the coaching and getting us prepared and everything. And you just go out and be LeBron James.
Well, Craig, you're in town right now. Why don't you go over there, put your arm around him, and give him some words of wisdom from an older guy? I'm sure he'd be fine with that.
In that film last night, they made a big, big thing out of, remember in the finals when Jim Brown was sitting on the front row?
Yep.
And LeBron kind of like gave him the honor of bowing to him because of what Jim Brown had done.
Of course.
So yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, someone, he's not too far gone as far as, you know, taking over, but and having someone come tell him that. I wish I could. You're right. I can see the arena from where I'm standing right now.
Well, come to think of it, Jim Brown's probably not a bad guy to send over and straighten him out. Let's turn our attention, though, Craig, toward this Final Four, because it really is going to be an exciting couple of games. Let's start with the first one, Oklahoma with Buddy Hield. I mean, this guy has been an absolute superstar in this run to the Final Four, leading the Sooners into this game against Villanova, which has really been impressive in their own right, because they come into their Elite Eight game against Kansas, really known for lighting up the scoreboard and lots of three-pointers and lots of offense, and yet they showed some tremendous half-court offensive sets and lockdown defense, held Perry Ellis to, I think, just 4 points in that game. You got to really like what you're seeing from Jay Wright and Villanova, but who's going to stop Buddy Hield? How do you handicap that one?
You got a great question, Andy. Buddy has impressed me all year long. I watched him early when they were ranked number one and they played Kansas, and it was unbelievable, I believe, triple overtime game, and he was just a few points away from 50. And then they kind of went into, like, you know, they didn't play as well as a team, and I think Buddy probably felt like he had to do everything, but he's got some compliment players on the team also in Cousins. And I love the kid. He's got a great step back. He creates space to get his shot off. He finishes at the rim strong. He can flat out shoot the ball from anywhere on the court. I mean, he's no Steph Curry, but he's pretty close to it. But I think the thing that that Oklahoma's going to find out from this Villanova team is that they can put on the hard hat and go, you know, 30-point game, or they can go and put on the track shoes and run. So I love the way they play. They can play at any style, and that probably will benefit them against Oklahoma, because if I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think it's going to be up there in the 80s and the 90s, I think it's going to be entertaining. I think the teams will battle each other, and it'll be nip and tuck. I'm definitely rooting for Buddy, though. I love that the fact that he came from the Bahamas, and I know he's played high school basketball in the States, but I love his attitude. I think Coach Cougar's done a really nice job of grooming him, and I think they are a team that's hot and is probably as hot as Syracuse.
You mentioned that he's no Steph Curry, but he's pretty close to it. To me, that's high praise enough, just even mentioning him in the same sentence with what, you know, we're seeing from Steph Curry these days. Does what we're seeing from Steph Curry and the way that this Golden State team is really spreading defenses out, does that add stock in Buddy Hield's draft stock for this coming year, knowing that this is where the game is going, and to have the guy that can hit the step back three is an invaluable weapon to have right now? How much does Steph Curry's success impact the value of Buddy Hield?
Oh, tremendously. I think there will always be comparisons because of his style of play. And I don't think there's any reason to say that Buddy can't do what Steph does. I'm saying that in the sense that he can finish and drive. Now, Buddy's handles probably aren't as good as Steph's, but I think when guys in the pros are looking at him, I think that's the biggest comparison they'll have is like what Steph Curry does. Buddy can do pretty good also, and probably more so on the shooting end and not so much on the setup. But you know what impresses me the most about Buddy is if he demands or he gets a double team, he lets his teammates come forward. And the Cousins kid is just as good as a shooter as Buddy is. So the only thing that scares me is when you live by the bomb, you die by the bomb sometimes. So right now, Oklahoma's had been making a lot of shots, but I saw in the middle of the season there where they stopped making shots and they lost a few ball games.
Well, maybe our buddy Big Daddy Dave Latin's grandson, Kadeem Latin, comes into play.
Isn't that great?
Did you get to know Big Daddy when you were with the Rockets? And he was always kind of hanging around, and I got to know him a little bit through the tennis circles, believe it or not. But what a tremendous guy, and I know that they're going to honor the former Texas Western center during the Final Four 50 years later after the big win over Kentucky, and that honor is certainly well-deserved.
Oh, no question. And, you know, if there's an X factor for the Oklahoma Sooners, I think a lot of people would say probably Spangler would be the guy that, you know, might step up and help out a lot if there's a tension on Cousins and Buddy. But Lattin jumps out of the gym. He cleans things up. He plays defense. He changes shots in the paint. So the X factor for Oklahoma, if they want to win it all, will definitely be Big Daddy's grandson there.
And certainly, Craig, the late game is going to be a popcorn game as well. When you've got the star-studded team, you've got to love what you're seeing from the Bryce Johnsons and Marcus Pages and Kennedy Meekses of the world with North Carolina. But before we get to them, let's start with Syracuse. You mentioned them earlier. This is a team that was sort of maligned for even being in the tournament. You know as well as anybody that the style of defense that Coach Boeheim has Syracuse play in, that 2-3 zone, it seems to me, now it's such an effective tournament defense because there's already pressure on these guys to make shots, and it just seems like against Syracuse, with their length and how active they are both underneath and out on the perimeter, there's just nothing that's uncontested against those guys.
Yeah, and I mean, Coach Boeheim has stuck to his guns over 30-something years of being at Syracuse. And they call it a 2-3 matchup zone with man-to-man principles. So if a man's in your area, you're guarding him. You're not just standing back like some of the high school kids are taught, like, and keeping your hands up. So I've always been impressed with that. And I've always, actually, I'm a pretty good friend with Coach Few at Gonzaga. And I did pick his brain on a text about, like, hey, you're going to face this Syracuse zone. Well, how are you going to beat it? And he was like, he didn't have a clue. He was like, I don't know. It's just tough. But that's the Boeheim's 2-3 zone is definitely made for the tournament. I totally agree with you on that. There's no question about that. And I think when you got a big kid in the middle that can come out and well, like in the game against Gonzaga, he blocked Josh Perkins' shot at the end of the game to secure the win. So I think everybody right now in Syracuse is just playing with confidence. And I watched a little clip on ESPN the other night. One of Boeheim's wins was against Kansas, where Roy Williams was. I think it was Akeem Warwick blocked a shot at the end of the game on Lee to secure the win. And that's what that zone was. I mean, Warwick was in the middle of that zone, and he came out from his position and was able to contest a three-pointer by Kansas and secured the win for them.
Taking a look at North Carolina and what they have to offer with respect to trying to combat the Syracuse zone, and of course they did beat them in North Carolina the last time they faced each other. I think it was just a 4-point game. Syracuse gave North Carolina everything they could handle. What have you seen from North Carolina in the tournament? It looks like Marcus Page has been as poised as any point guard in the tournament. They're certainly getting tremendous play underneath, you know, with the Bryce Johnsons and Kennedy Meekses of the world. You've got an X factor like Nate Britt, who I think as a sophomore, Craig, I read where that kid hit 26 of 29 threes, yet North Carolina is not known as an outside shooting team. What do you make of the heels and how they'll match up with Syracuse?
Well, the thing, Marcus Page, I know in the ACC tournament, you know, he was missing shots, but he never dropped his head. A good shooter keeps shooting, and that's exactly what he did. He's found his touch again in these games in the NCAA tournament. That helps a lot when you got a shooter that's hot against the 2-3 zone. And then the big fellas for North Carolina is exactly where their strength is. That's their bread and butter. They go inside, and that's the way you can beat the zone. I mean, you got to get the ball at the elbow or on the short corner. Then you got to have these big guys cut and break open in front of people. And North Carolina is as talented as a team as I've ever seen. I mean, the kids that they have right now, and the depth that they have, that's the other thing with North Carolina is their depth. If the game is being played hard and a lot of energy is being spent, Coach Williams can go 8 or 9 deep on that team. And I think that's their strength also. But it's the big fellas that I think that are going to help North Carolina win. Controlling the boards and getting those second chance opportunities is what I think can beat a zone like Syracuse has.
Come Monday night, Craig, who are we going to be watching play, and who's going to get the confetti rain down on them?
Well, I was not a big fan of Villanova when they made number one, because the Big East just isn't the Big East anymore. They're not the powerhouse teams that they had in the past. Villanova, I didn't have going far in my bracket. In Oklahoma, I actually had losing to Oregon just because I'm a Pac-10 guy or a Pac-12 guy. So I love Oklahoma. I love the way they play, and I love the way their style. So I got Oklahoma beating Villanova in the first game and North Carolina beating Syracuse in the second game. And the championship would be against Oklahoma and North Carolina. And I got to go with the upset because the last team that won with a one-man show was Kansas and Danny Manning. And I think that can be very well replayed in Oklahoma this year with Buddy Hield.
Wow. All right. Lots of praise for Buddy Hield. Before we let you go, Craig, is anybody stopping the Golden State Warriors? Obviously, a lot of respect to the San Antonio Spurs, who are very quietly putting up record numbers this season under Coach Pop. He continues to do things his way. He rests his players when he feels like it, and it seems to have extended the careers and kept the Tim Duncans and Manu Ginobili's and Tony Parkers of the world fresh, bringing in LaMarcus Aldridge. You know, obviously, Kawhi Leonard has just continued to evolve into a very quiet, somewhat understated superstar. But what Golden State's doing, I mean, is that going to be your championship series, Golden State, San Antonio, in the Western Conference Finals?
Yes, without a doubt. I don't think there's any two teams or any team in the Western Conference that can pull an upset against those two teams. The Western Conference Finals will definitely be San Antonio and Golden State. And I loved all season long. San Antonio was just right on their heels. And the Warriors, actually, I think the first meeting they had just kind of put it to them. But then when they went down to San Antonio, it was a different story. So I believe that series will go seven, and it'll be the home court advantage for Golden State probably that puts them back in NBA Finals.
And is it going to be a rematch of last year's final?
I think so. I think Cleveland will get things figured out. I don't think there's another team that can really challenge them in the Eastern Conference. And so I believe it'll be a rematch of the NBA Finals that we saw last year. But it'll be the same song, second tune. But for Cleveland, I think with Kyrie being healthy and Kevin being healthy, they can challenge the Warriors just a little bit more. I got to say, after watching that 30-for-30 and the Cleveland being a drought city as far as championships would go, I'm hoping and praying that that'll end with the finals this year, where they'll be having a ticker tape parade in Cleveland hopefully this year.
Yeah, you better have some pretty good credit with the man upstairs for that to happen. But he's a good old boy from Lubbock, Texas, a star at Washington State, drafted by the Rockets, played the predominant amount of his career with the Cleveland Cavaliers, spent a little time with Seattle, and spent some time with Coach Wilkins in Atlanta. He's Craig Elo. Craig, always like to mention and thank our good mutual friend Dean Blumrosen for making the initial contact for us to get together, because I really do always enjoy these conversations very much. Thanks so much for taking the time on Final Four weekend during your time out in Cleveland to join me today.
Anytime, Andy. It's an honor and a privilege getting able to speak with you about sports, or specifically basketball. This is how we roll.